Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show where we are making this world a polite place to live one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from acts of kindness to handling pet peeves. If you are listening live, call 347-324-3295. Now here is your host, etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. I'm Miss Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady, and we have been on hiatus, but we are so glad to be back. Well, first of all, our topic this evening is vacation etiquette. Our topic is vacation etiquette, so stay tuned. Well, since the name of our show is What is Etiquette Anyway, we're going to go ahead and tell you exactly the definition of etiquette. Etiquette, by the way, is just a fancy word for manners. It's a set of rules of behavior, and by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So I always like to say thank you so much, Charles I and II. Our hats are certainly off to you. Well, once again, we are so excited to be back. Once again, happy Sunday to you all. I thank you all for taking time out of part of your Sunday evening to join us. And this evening, we are going to vacation etiquette. Tis the season for travel. And we have a very special guest that is joining us this evening. She is an expert on travel. We are going to be talking to her and bringing her on. In fact, Ms. Yolanda, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Well, wonderful. How are you? Happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday to you and all your listeners. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Well, wow. So, 'tis the season for vacation, and you guys, we want to make sure that when you pack your bags, you also pack your manners, okay? So don't leave your manners out of the bag. Pack your bags and include your manners. Well, Ms. Yolanda, as I told our listeners, that you are certainly an expert on travel. And if you would, just kind of tell our audience just a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind.
Okay. I'm a former international domestic flight attendant for a major airline, and I was with them for 18 years. And I had post 9/11 training as well as security clearances, OSHA certified, and managed team operations, supervising in-flight crew of 10 members, and was trained in the nuances of international relations and business protocol. So
wow.
Simple things like not putting a red rose on a flight to England on the tray table, on the serving tray that you're serving drinks from. A red rose represents death to those in England. So we had the whole airline had to revamp a program and make it all red carnation.
Wow. Well, as I said, this is definitely an expert on etiquette, and you guys are going to, you know, just get ready to hear a lot of great information. Well, Ms. Yolanda, we were actually having a discussion about an article I wrote, and some of the listeners, you may have seen that article in the past. It's called Vacation is Not the Time to Leave Good Manners at Home. So we were just kind of discussing this article, and I just knew that Ms. Yolanda would be a great guest because she has seen and heard probably pretty much all there is to see and heard over her career.
I wouldn't say everything.
Well, a lot, because I know that some of the points that you were sharing with me, I thought, wow, this is really interesting. But for those of you who may not have seen this article in the past, I'm just going to, I'm going to read a little bit of it to you. It just starts by saying peak vacation time is approaching fast, and actually it's here. And you will certainly have a pleasant vacation if you pack your manners and take them with you. And then I'm just going to give you a few tips we're going to start out with. If you're traveling by auto, because, you know, some people travel by auto, bus, train, plane, just, you know, get there however you can. But as far as automobiles, make sure that you buckle up, okay, because in most states, you're wearing your seat belt is the law, so you certainly want to do that. And please be sure to put your children in their car seats. That is really, really important. And although they may feel restrained, which they probably will if you're on a long road trip, they feel restrained after a period of time. You may be tempted to take them out because you know how they whine, and I'm tired, and I want to get out, and when am I going to get there? Parents, you all know that song, okay? But even though you might be tempted to sing along with them, don't take them out. And if it gets really to a point, then you do certainly want to schedule a stop rest period so then they can get out and walk and move around and so on and so forth. So that's real important. And talking about rest stops, because I know we talked about this a little bit, Yolanda, rest stops, guys, you want to make sure that when you are stopping or even going into, you know, the restrooms, make sure you watch your kids. You probably take them in with you because
exactly.
I know a lot of rest stops and things, those are just prime places for predators to hang out.
And if it's a point, take them with you as well, right? Yeah, I was going to tell you, Yolanda,
go ahead and share what you were sharing with me, even with your own son.
Yes, ma'am. I was saying that whenever, even though my son is 10, I still escort him to the men's room, or I'll take him to the ladies' room and blindfold him and make him just stay in the stall until it's time to leave, literally, because mm-hmm. it's just safer that way. Oprah had a woman on her show years ago who was an expert about this, and it was a sociopath. He was in his 20s, really clean cut, Ted Bundy looking, all that, and she had let her nephew go into the stall, into the bathroom by himself, and the young man came out, and he looked all fresh, and she was like, well, you know, is my nephew in there, you know, this little boy in there? He said, oh, yeah, he's finishing. He's taking a little bit of a time. He said something, maybe he said something like he's, I don't know if he said he's washing his hands or but he said something to make her think to give him a little extra time. So she's waiting and waiting and waiting. She finally goes in, and he had sodomized him and killed him. And this is the aunt. So she has to live with this for the rest of her life. This wasn't even her child. But on her watch, this is what happened. So it's just so important to escort your children to the bathroom always. You know, and then if possible, send two if they're able to defend themselves. But a lot of times children are taught to respect adults. So they can't believe something like this is happening to them. It's just easier and safer for you to just escort them.
Yeah, that is such a great point. And oftentimes, and we, you know, we want to talk about that now because when, you know, when you go on vacation, you're excited, and a lot of times you know your guards are down, or you're not as conscious as you possibly should be because you're so excited. But you know, even with using that excitement, you also want to use a lot of common sense and really, you know, watch over the kids. And, you know, we talk about security. Our security expert, Lonnie, joins us from time to time. And so we're also we discuss quite a bit security because we want you to be conscious about that. Now, when it comes to flights, Ms. Yolanda, we want to keep the skies friendly. And so, of course, when you get there, you want to arrive at the airport early and keep in mind that security is tight. And, of course, you must allow yourself ample time for thorough security checks. And make sure your luggage has ID tags and bags that are, you know, your bags are securely packed. And make sure you keep up with your bags yourself, and because that's very important as well. Listen attentively for your row to be called for boarding. And, of course, most airlines board first-class passengers first and then board rows from back to front. Obey the seat belt signs. If seated in an aisle seat, be sure to keep your feet out of the aisles. And in case you're just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We're talking about vacation is not the time to leave your good manners at home. Our special guest, Ms. Yolanda, is on with us. And in talking about flights, Ms. Yolanda, I know I've been on a flight before, and I've sat there and only to have someone basically recline their seat almost into my lap. Okay, the person sitting in front of me. Okay, and I, you know, hey, I'm all about comfort. I love
being comfortable. Did you offer me
by? Okay. But I know this guy, I mean, he was, I guess he was getting ready to settle in for a long winter's nap or whatever, but he just, he didn't bother to turn around and say, ma'am, are you okay? Is my seat back too far? Oh, no, none of that. So what I did is I just kind of tapped him on, you know, the shoulder and asked him if he wouldn't mind, you know, moving his seat up a little bit because I was really cramped at that time. And so he said, oh, I didn't even know. And I said, okay, well, I'm just so glad to be able to inform you of that. And once again, on this show, sure, guys, we always say it's not what you say, it's how you say it. So I was very diplomatic about it. And but anyway, we were talking, too, about some of the, some occurrences that you've seen on the plane. And I don't know if you have a particular starting point you want to begin by just kind of talking about, I guess, some taboos, if you will, when it comes to flying.
Everyone's tense. Yeah, I just think everyone's tense from going through security and waiting in line and everything, and they're just ready to get going. So once that door closes on the plane, you feel like, you know, everyone feels that way, even the crew, you know, barring a delay with weather or whatever. So to finally get that door closed and push back, your crew is ready because they're starting to get paid more. But also security-wise, it just makes everyone happy if everyone's just a little bit more relaxed. But what's the word? Like you said, etiquette in terms of being conscientious, saying please, watching your manners, all the things you teach your children, you now employ. And even this is the time to model them for them. So that, you know, you're sharing the armrest with someone, you know, or making room for someone else on the armrest that you share. Saying excuse me or pardon me just to get out, you know, to go to the bathroom because the person's got the aisle seat. Asking someone do they mind if you put the shade up because the sun might be glaring right in your face. So you just say little things like, you know, do you mind if I pull the shade down? Or do you mind if I put the shade up? Is that okay with you? Just checking with your seat, your passengers. Or if you've got headphones on, especially if you have a teenager, and they've got their little headphones on with the buds, but they're still blasting, and other people can hear it. And as a parent, if you put your own stuff in, then you can't hear your child annoying other people, but they've got to live with that for the next how long the flight is. God forbid it's to Japan, which is about 16 hours from the States. So you want to be mindful of reminding your young people also to not have the volume blasting on their earbuds, on their personal media equipment. Another thing I had a pet peeve of as a flight attendant was the Cheerios. We love parents to bring food to provide snacks for their children. You should always carry them. Because of an emergency, allergies, everything. I always carry snacks for my children, even today. I even meet adult parents who used to do it, and at one point they had to remind themselves that their children aren't with them anymore and to not have snacks anymore. But it's a great habit to do. But it's the whole thing is that trying to clean up the best you can behind your child and not make it more messy for the not necessarily the crew members, but just for the other passengers or your child that might get out of the seat and start eating the stuff off the floor, which is not very clean. So just being careful with stuff like that.
Yeah, talk about some of the longer flights. I mean, how do children pretty much do? I do have an email I want to read. In fact, let me go ahead and read that. It says, Dear Etiquette Ladies, I am so glad you are having this discussion. My family and I flew from D.C. to Vegas, and there were two small children traveling alone. They seemed to be afraid, and they kept crying and bothering the attendants. I overheard the flight attendants discussing that they should have an adult with them. This was an extra long flight with these children. What are the rules when it comes to children flying alone? Do they expect the attendants to babysit? This comes from Alexis Merriweather in Washington, D.C. That is certainly a question for you, Ms. Yolanda.
Okay. FAA requirements that a certain amount of flight attendants per passengers be available for the flight, and we're there mainly for the passenger's safety to operate and initiate an evacuation or a water drill on behalf of the airplane, safety of the people and the airline. We're not there to babysit children, but we are there to supervise them, and they're called unaccompanied minors. And their parents sign a form, and we get their driver's license and the driver's license of the person on the other end who's meeting the child or children. And they have to show state certified ID before we'll even turn them over to the parent or whoever who's meeting them at the gate. Sometimes another agent will meet us at the gate and then take them to their party or in between flights. But the flight attendants are there just to make sure their seatbelts are on, give them a quick tour of the airplane. We usually allow them on first because they're traveling by themselves. We show them where the bathroom is. I give them a talk. I give them the talk that you would want your child to have, unfortunately. It's called, if anyone says anything to you or does anything or touches you in any way that you feel uncomfortable, you come get me. And I promise you, you won't have to see that person again. And that's ugly, but that's the way it is. There was a young lady on major airline. She's a violinist, I think, or a pianist. And she was molested by a gentleman on the flight under a blanket. And she was like 11, 10 or 11, so she's old enough to be able to speak or say something, but your brain can't comprehend that this is happening to you, just like any kind of trauma for anyone. And so, again, telling them that they can just come get you or telling them if someone bothers you or makes you feel uncomfortable, just get up, say, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. I give them that lie. I have to go to the bathroom, and then you come get me. And flight attendants have the right to change the seats of passengers. They usually block the seat of the unaccompanied children. They only sit them with another child, usually within the same age range, or we block the seat. It's such a sticky, crazy thing. I go around and check to make sure there's no blanket over a child and another child, child and an adult. The unaccompanied, I get them up. I say, excuse me, it's time to visit, and I get them up out of the seat, away from whoever they're sitting with. If they're sitting with someone, just to stretch their legs, or not that someone's become overly familiar with them, maybe in another seat, and take them to the back where we sit and maybe offer them a sundae from first class, some cookies or something, just a snack, something, just something to make it a little extra special for them, ask them how they're enjoying their flight, and make sure that they feel okay. It's so tricky. Feel free to ask me any questions. I know I'm maybe jumping around a bit, but it's, wow.
Yeah, no, it's perfectly fine.
And
perfectly
usually
fine.
Age also. I mean, I think it's 10 and up. I'm not sure. It's been a while, but and then it depends on the airline, but the unaccompanied, some of them, we've seen them as young as 7. I mean, 7 years old, 5 even, possibly. As long as they're potty trained and they can remain seated. But it depends on how long the flight is. I think if it's an international flight, I don't think they would do that. But I met a young man traveling from London, but he was going to boarding school. He was so mature. He was 10, and he was just a little man with his his little crest on his uniform jacket and how he spoke and how he conducted himself. He was a dream child.
Wow. How nice. Wow.
But any questions, feel free.
Mm-hmm. We're going to pause just for a moment. We'll be right back.
Do you have children under 18? Do you rent or own your home? How much money do you have saved for retirement? How do you plan to support yourself when you retire? What would you and your family do if a loved one died without a will or insurance? If you are not sure, you need to consult with Bowden Financial Group. Larry E. Bowden has over 20 years' experience in the insurance and financial service industry. He holds a BS degree from Morris Brown College in Business Administration and maintains a Georgia State Insurance license. He is a chartered senior financial planner and is the owner of Bowden Financial Group. Based on 100 average Americans, upon retirement age, 1% will be well-to-do, 3% will have no estate and will have to keep working, 4% will have income, 92% will be dependent or dead broke. Let Bowden Financial Group be your financial planner. After all, he has assisted thousands of individuals and small businesses over the years. Bowden Financial Group, 770-981-6024. Once again, 770-981-6024. Call now, Bowden Financial Group.
Okay, great. We are back. Just in case you are just joining us, you're listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We're talking about vacation and travel etiquette. We're reminding you that vacation is not the time to leave your good manners at home. Put them in your bag and take them with you. I'm going to go to the phone and take some calls if we have a moment. Extension 4999, hello. Extension 4999, hello. Okay, they may just be holding. Okay, let's go. Extension 2856. Extension 2856. Thanks for calling. What is etiquette anyway? Hello. Okay, they may be lurking. Sometimes we have callers that just kind of want to listen in. Thank you all for listening. I want to talk a little bit about, I know we talked about children. Let me say something else about children. I did also mention this in the article. Do not allow your children to play with the controls, like with the seat, the auto controls for the seats, and don't allow them to play with the call button to continuously call a flight attendant. Okay, so just make sure parents, you know, and I'm sure Ms. Yolanda can second that emotion there. But don't make sure you're watching your children, okay? It's real important. If you are in a chatty mood, can you check first to see if your neighbor feels like talking? It can be very irritating when someone constantly wants to chat with you and you want to rest or read or complete an assignment. So be considerate and ask them if they feel like talking. I know I've been on a flight before, and I've had someone just sit there and talk to me, and I'm thinking, okay, I need to be, you know, writing an article. I'm working on something. They just keep talking. So it's like, okay, this person is not going to stop talking. Let me just go ahead and talk to them. And, you know, maybe they need somebody to talk to. So, you know, I did that. But we do want to be considerate when we do that. I have an email here. Ms. Yolanda, how do you deal with storms? My daughter wants to be a flight attendant but is afraid of storms when we fly. Do you have any advice for her? Okay. And this comes from Caroline.
Well, Ms. Caroline, your daughter still can be a flight attendant even if she's afraid of storms. For the most part, most airlines are grounded. They don't fly in storms. If we happen to come upon a storm while we're in flight, we usually try to go around it, or we may, if we have to, divert to another city if the storm is that severe. I have been on a flight where it was lightning and the storm, and it was almost a thing to watch the activity, and everyone was quiet. Everyone's cognizant of it almost. It was like everyone's in a silent prayer. But she would be fine. Also, I would definitely advise her and let her watch weather and the dynamics of weather, clouds and the type of clouds that form storms and why, and the pressure and weather systems. You can start spoon feeding it to her now at whatever age level she's at, and then as time progresses, enlarge the vocabulary of what it is that creates a storm. So once it's been demystified to her and it's not like mystical and something she's never heard of, she'll be familiar with the terms and what makes it, what helps make a storm. And then that way she is not scary to her anymore. And I wish her good luck in being a flight attendant. It's a wonderful,
wonderful
profession.
Wow, great, great information, I'm sure, Ms. Caroline. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm sure that was some great advice. So, well, do you have any tips on, there are some people who just absolutely are afraid to fly, period, just afraid to fly. Do you have any advice for them that may make them a little more comfortable?
Yes. The airlines, it behooves them to have this this particular class. There is an actual fear of flying class at almost every major airport in every major city. And
really?
Yes, really. It's called the fear of flying, and there are a lot of professionals out there who are I mean, CEOs, executives, vice presidents. People are very dynamic and wonderful, and they can run boardrooms. They're chairman of boards and everything, but that fear of flying just sort of just puts them in another level. And the class is held, I think, maybe twice a week or once a week, because this is a real fear that people have. I've forgotten what the technical name of it is, but I actually volunteered and did one of these. As a flight attendant, and the first time they get to, in a classroom setting, they're told what an airplane is, the mechanics of flying, how the aileron works, that's on the wings, the part that moves, and how the air passes over it and the lift for the flight and the tail section, how it moves, so they get the mechanics down of what it is, again, demystifying it. And then they're maybe given take-home sheets or whatever, and then the next time they meet, they go to the airport, and they actually walk around the airport, come through. It's usually during the low time of the airport, not when it's really extremely busy. And they usually go to the domestic side, not international. And they get to walk around and see what it's like, even just the boarding area, just to get over that fear of sitting there in a chair and waiting for them to call your row, just all of that. And then the next time they do it, they actually put them on a plane. But we don't shut the door because, again, for some people, that's just panic mode for them. It's almost like John Lithgow in that Twilight Zone, the movie. It's in William Shatner in the classic Twilight Zone where he just went crazy, had a fear of flying.
Wow.
So, and then the last class that they graduate on is they close the door and we taxi. That's the second to the last class. And then the last class is we actually take off and the plane land. And to hear all these adults clapping and hooting and hollering and praising the Creator and, I mean, doing the sign of the cross, everything when we land, and high-fiving each other because they just did it. They actually flew.
That is great. I know I actually just looked it up, and I can't believe we're running out of time, guys. We may, if you're listening live, we're going to lose you in just about a minute or so, but you will be able to go back and hear the entire show as an archive. But I actually looked that up, and the fear of flying is called aerophobia, spelled A-E-R-O-P-H-O-B-I-A. So that is the fear of flying. So thank you so much for letting us know about that. I didn't know about it. I'm sure there's a lot of other people who just didn't know about that. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us this evening. We so appreciate you supporting our show and listening. Those of you who sent in emails that you're calling, you're online, or you're listening to us, we certainly do appreciate it. Thank you to Ms. Yolanda for the great information and tips. We certainly appreciate it. Please be sure to tell your friends and family about our show. Invite them to listen as well. After all, the goal is to make the world a polite place to live. And we know we can only do that one person at a time. Remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. And as we remind you on a weekly basis, please be sure to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Once again, thanks for listening. Take care. Good night. And
thank
God bless.
You,
we'll see you next time. You're so welcome. Good night, everyone.
Good night.